तम आह प्रेम वैक्लव्या रुधा कंथा श्रुलोचना स्मरन्ति तान् बहून् क्लेशान् क्लेशापायात्मदर्शनम् तम् आह प्रेम वैक्लव्या रुधा कंथा श्रुलोचना स्मरन्ति तान् बहून् क्लेशान् क्लेशापायात्मदर्शनम्
To him, aha, she said, prema, of love, vaiklavya, due to the distress, rudha, choking, kantha, whose throat, ashru, filled with tears, lochana, whose eyes, smaranti, remembering, tan, those, bahun, many, kleshan, pains, klesha, of pain, apaya, for the dispelling, Atma, himself, Darshanam, who shows. Some of these verses we have already discussed previously. So I'll just go over them until today's verse. So overcome by love, that her throat choked up and her eyes filled with tears, Queen Kunti remembered the many troubles she and her sons had endured. Thus she addressed Lord Krishna, who appears before his devotees to drive away their distress. Queen Kunti said, "My dear Krishna, our welfare was assured only when you remembered us, your relatives, and gave us your protection by sending my brother to visit us. For you, the well-wishing friend and supreme soul of the universe, there is never any illusion of us and them. Yet, even so, residing within the hearts of all, you eradicate the sufferings of those who remember you constantly." Yudhisthira uvacha kim na acharitam seyo adheraham adishvara Yogeshwara Yogeshwaranam Durdasa Yanno Drishta Kumedasam. King Yudhisthira said, O Supreme Controller, I do not know what pious deeds we fools have done so that we can see you, whom the masters of yogic perfection rarely see. Iti vai varshikan masan rajyaso bhyatita sukham chanayan nayanandam indra prastaur sukhasam vibhu. Requested by the king to stay with them, the Almighty Lord remained happily in Indraprastha during the months of the rainy season, giving joy to the eyes of the city's residents. Purport. If possible, the readers of the Bhagavatam should try to correctly chant the Sanskrit verses, which are exquisitely poetic. Om Agyanti Midandasya Yananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Asmai Sri Guruve Namaha Abhancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Kutitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Ajanulambita Bhujo Kanakatavato Sankirtanayaka Pitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishwambaro Dvijabaro Yugadharmapalo Bande Jagatyakaro Karunavataro Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. King Yudhisthira said, O Supreme Controller, I do not know what pious deeds we fools have done so that we can see you, whom the masters of yogic perfection rarely see. Here again in these beautiful verses, Lord Sri Krishna is giving us the vision of how he is captured within the hearts of his devotees. To the degree we really deeply understand the intense need that we have for Krishna in every phase of our life, to that degree Krishna manifests himself in our life. Krishna is everywhere. He is all pervasive. Nothing exists without the divine presence of Krishna. But through his material energies and through his various expansions, such as the Paramatma, Vishnu, Krishna is all-pervading in this creation. But as far as his own original personality of Shyamasundara, Nandanandana, he only appears where there is pure, sincere, and humble bhakti devotion. Arjuna, he was given witness to the Virat Rup, the universal form of the Lord, in this most amazing and wonderful incarnation. Krishna revealed to us how this whole creation and every universe within it is nothing but his gigantic body. And every aspect of the creation is a particular part of this wonderful transcendental body, the Virat Rup. The sun and the moon are his eyes. The trees are the hairs of his body. The rivers are his veins. And whatever functions that any of us have, they all originate in the universal form of the Lord. When the universal form manifested eyes, through those eyes it gave the power for all jivatmas to obtain bodies to see. And from his eyes also manifest the particular demigod who is in control of the power of seeing. From the universal form came the tongue. It manifests in this Virat Rupa, which is the origin of all tasting. Because Krishna tastes, we can taste. And through the universal form, the power to taste entered into the universe, as well as the demigod that presides over that particular function. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the Virat Rup manifested the sexual organs, and it is through the sexual organ on the Lord that all living beings within the creation are given the power to produce progeny. So whatever we can do, whatever functions are within our existence, we should know that they manifested first into this universe through the universal form, and by that incredibly supreme being within this universe, we are all given all these facilities. But the universal form also is the manifestation of the supreme kala, or time. Because everything within the creation is being destroyed by time. And Arjuna could witness how this Virat Rup was devouring all living beings. Magnificent sight. Arjuna's hairs were standing on end. He was trembling. His hands were folded, and he was offering very reverential prayers to the Lord. Just a few minutes before, he told Krishna, "You are my chariot driver. Please drive my chariot between the two armies. I want to see who have come." Krishna said, "Yes, as you like." Partha Sarathi became the humble servant of his own devotee, Arjuna. So many times Krishna and Arjuna had loving pastimes. Because they were cousins and they were approximately the same age, therefore they had such a friendly, loving relationship. Sometimes they would sit together, they would joke together, they would sleep next to each other. Sometimes, without any sense of reverence, they would simply intimately exchange sweet words. And Krishna, to show how he is so obliged to the surrender of his devotees, he became his charioteer. The charioteer only has one business, just to hear the orders of the chariot, of the warrior, and carry out those orders. Similarly for Yudhisthira, when there was some diplomatic negotiations between the Kurus and the Pandavas before the battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Sri Krishna agreed to be the messenger, the courier for Yudhisthira, which is another very menial service that only a very obedient person is allowed to take. Yudhisthira would send messages to Duryodhana through Krishna. And it's not an easy job, because Duryodhana was not exactly very receptive. In fact, one time Krishna came with a message from Yudhisthira, and Duryodhana was so displeased by this message, so displeased with what Krishna was representing, that he ordered Krishna to be arrested and put in prison. Duryodhana knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he was so covered over that he just completely lost his intelligence due to envy. Sometimes even devotees, even though they know what's right, and they know who Krishna is, and they know who the Vaishnavas are, when we become too clouded over by envy, or by lust, or by pride, or by greed, or by anger, or by illusion, we just lose our intelligence. And we behave in such a way with no respect. So Duryodhana ordered his soldiers, arrest this man. So they came to Krishna. But Krishna, he manifested his Virat Rup, his universal form. This is before Arjuna. And Duryodhana saw it. It was unbelievable. He saw the whole universe within Krishna. And naturally the soldiers became very afraid and ran away. And Duryodhana also, he withdrew his command. But still, even after seeing all that, because he was not a humble devotee, he was still against Krishna. He was still against Arjuna. He still was not willing to surrender. Even if God comes right in front of you, it doesn't mean you'll surrender. You have to be humble and pure. Mukunda Dutt prayed like this. That just see, Duryodhana saw right before his own eyes the universal form of the Lord, but because he had no devotion, he would not surrender. And ultimately, he died a miserable, painful death. But Arjuna was seeing the same wonderful form. Similar. But he understood that this is Krishna. This is Bhagavan. And with folded hands, he, in a trembling voice, he surrendered. But then he told Krishna that this terrible, terrible form of yours, I can't bear seeing it. Please, let me see you again in your beautiful two-handed form as my friend. This I desire. And Krishna transformed himself first to his form of four-armed Narayana, But Arjuna was not really satisfied until he came back to his two-handed form of Dwaragadish Krishna, Parthasarathi. So you see, the universal form of the Lord, the Paramatma of the Lord, these various wonderful, wonderful expansions that pervade this entire universe. In this sense, we can understand that literally, not figurative, literally, everything is within Krishna and Krishna is within everything. Everything is within the Virat Rupa. And Krishna as Paramatma is within each and every atom in between. So where is Krishna not existing? He's everywhere, within and without. But as Rasaraj Govinda or Dwarakadish Vasudev, in this beautiful form of Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, he only appears where there is pure, unalloyed love and devotion. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochinana Santasa Deva Hridayoshi Vilokayanti. The beautiful form of Shyam Sundar can only be witnessed by those whose eyes are anointed with the self of unalloyed devotion, bhakti. We have been reading about the glory of the bhakti of the Pandavas. We have heard the prayers of Queen Kunti. Even after going through so many tribulations and heartbreaking experiences, she was with her eyes filled with tears, just praying to Krishna that you are so kind, you are so merciful, that whatever we go through, when we remember you, we become joyful. When we remember you, we find the eternal shelter of your lotus feet, and we transcend birth and death. Therefore, Queen Kunti, she only prayed for one benediction from Lord Sri Krishna. Generally, when a person is in terrible pain or distress, before going to the next stage of what we want as far as higher consciousness, first we want relief from the agony. Devotees, you have experiences. Sometimes you're terribly sick or some terrible crisis comes into your life. Painful condition. And you know that ultimately what you want to ask from Krishna is for pure devotion. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoita kitvai. My Lord, I do not want wealth and I do not want beautiful forms of sense gratification to enjoy, nor do I want followers, respect, prestige. I do not even want liberation. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth after birth. As Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this really is the prayer that is prominent in our minds. And we know that nothing else but this prayer will really fulfill the needs of the soul. But when we're in a terrible suffering condition, we put that prayer aside. We say, Krishna, please relieve my suffering. Then I'll say, nadanam na janam na sundarim. But right now, we do the needful. It's intolerable. That is our condition. But those who are truly serious in Krishna consciousness, they follow in the footsteps of Queen Kunti. Even in the greatest tribulations, she only wanted one benediction. Krishna, please, Just allow me to remember you constantly. Do as you like. Let the material nature, whatever is in store for us, whatever our destiny may behold, but let me simply remember you constantly in every situation.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Nama.
This is the prayer of Queen Kunti. She simply wants to always remember Krishna by remembering his beautiful names. And in each name, Krishna is revealing a particular wonderful transcendental attribute of his personality. Krishnaya, he is the all-attractive, all-pleasing reservoir of all joy and bliss. Vasudevaya, he is the all-pervading, supreme master of everything that exists. Krishnaya Vasudevaya, Devaki Nandanaya cha. He has appeared so wonderfully in Mathura as the son of Devaki. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, he is the beautiful little boy who's herding the cows of Nanda Maharaj. Govindaya Namo Nama. I offer obeisances to that Govinda, who gives pleasure to the cows, to the land, to the senses of all those who take shelter of him. In this way, through Queen Kunti's prayers, we learn the most sweet and beautiful process in which she was always remembering Krishna through every kind of situation of life. And this is the prayer of all the great devotees. My dear Lord, let me never forget you. Let me always remember you. And let me always, in any condition, be favorably disposed towards surrendering my life in your loving service and in the service of your devotees. Krishna is here meeting with Maharaj Yudhisthira. And see how he is presenting himself. At this particular time, he's acting in the position of king of Indraprastha. And yet he is presenting himself before Krishna as a fool. Not only himself, but he's calling his whole family fools. Kunti, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, everyone. He's saying, I do not know what pious deeds we fools have done. The great Vaishnava Acharyas, they explain how it's a very difficult type of humility to even see your family members like this. Sanatana Goswami had this humility. He not only said that he was fallen, but he said he was from a family of completely fallen souls. Because you see, there's two types of material attachments, I and mine. I am this body, and those things in relationship to this body are mine. So it's one thing to be humble about yourself, about I, but very rarely are people willing to be humble about what's mine. If you think about it, it's a very extreme form of humility. And Yudhisthira Maharaj is also exhibiting this most magnanimous and rare quality. He is not in any way claiming any qualification or right to be in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's so humble, he's saying, I do not know what pious deeds we fools have done so that we can see you, whom even the masters of yogic perfection rarely see. But we can realize that it is this very consciousness of humility that is his qualification. Duryodhana did not consider himself a fool. He considered himself very clever. But Yudhisthira, although he was of the most brilliant intelligence, before God, how could we be anything but fools? It's a fact. What is the depth of our intelligence, of our abilities, of our purity, of our anything before Krishna? Krishna is the supreme pure. He's the supreme powerful. He's the knower of everything, past, present, and future. Before Krishna, nobody can be anything but a fool. And a devotee, he doesn't compare himself to other human beings. Because if you compare yourself to other human beings, you either get an inferior complex or you get a false pride complex. If somebody's doing something better than you, you're thinking, this is not good. I have to work harder. I have to outdo him somehow or other. Or it's useless. I've tried so hard, but he's still better than me. I'm just useless. But that useless is not humility. That useless is simply defeat. You want to be better, but you just can't. So you feel yourself useless. Humility is a positive thing, it's not a negative thing. And if you're better than somebody at anything, then even though you're trying to be humble, still, in the back of your mind, you know, I am best. I will present myself very humble, but I'll let everybody know indirectly that I'm the best. Because they have to know this. However humble I appear, still they have to know somehow or other what I've done and what I can do and what they cannot do. Huh? Maybe I'll have somebody else tell them. I'll say, actually, I'm the most fallen and the most foolish, but I'll have somebody else tell them what I've already done, what I've accomplished. So then they'll know that not only am I very expert, but I'm also very humble. So we should not compare ourselves to others in this way. Because ultimately, we have to see our relationship with Krishna. That before Krishna, we are insignificant. One time a devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, he made some mistake, and Srila Prabhupada chastised him for making a mistake. And this devotee, with great sincerity, he said, Prabhupada, I'm sorry, I am the most fallen. He was thinking Prabhupada would appreciate that, but Prabhupada chastised him again. He said, you are not the most anything. You are insignificant. That is our position before Krishna. We may be a big book distributor, or we may be a wonderful preacher, or we may sing wonderful kirtans, or we may dress the deities in such a way that everyone just says, nobody does like this. Or we may cook preparations that everyone praises and glorifies during prasad. Or we may be so austere that we're becoming emaciated. We hardly eat, we hardly sleep. We can do all these things. But before Krishna, what is it? Nara Narayan Rishi
When they wanted to show what tapasya is, they showed what tapasya really is. And no jivatma can compare. We are all just insignificant parts and parcels of the Lord. Therefore, devotees are conscious of this. Now, if we have a material mind, this is really a terrible complex. In the Western world, and I'm sure amongst westernized people of India, they say, why you're always saying you're insignificant and you're nothing? What type of mentality is this? You have to have pride in yourself. Because from the material point of view, to just think yourself as an insignificant, useless fool, it's actually not a very happy lifestyle. But because devotees are thinking like this way, in remembrance of Krishna, that Krishna, you are so great that I'm insignificant. Therefore, I'm going to find my pleasure not in my significance, but in your significance. You are so learned and so wise, Krishna, the knower of everything, that why should I bother trying to take pride in my insignificant intelligence? I will take pride in glorifying your supreme wisdom by reading your book, Bhagavad Gita, and explaining your words, not my words. The mundane philosophers, they love to explain things their own ways. The Shastra says that a muni must be unique. He must contradict all other munis and present his own ideas. But a devotee, he just presents Krishna's ideas. He just hears and delivers the message. Why should I manufacture everything? Why should I concoct anything? Krishna's perfect, I'm nothing. I'll just repeat what he has spoken in the Gita. And I'll repeat the previous acharyas who are all in that humble state of mind, simply giving us Krishna's words. This is humility. So therefore, to a degree, a devotee considers himself an insignificant, useless fool. To that degree, he's actually completely immersed in tasting the sweetest nectar of Krishna's transcendental name, Krishna's transcendental qualities, and Krishna's wonderful pastimes. In this way, the humility of a devotee is positive, because his humility is actually born of complete absorption in the remembrance of the greatness of God. And as far as other Vaishnavas, a devotee sees Krishna manifesting through them. That's why a devotee doesn't say to another devotee, you are an insignificant, useless fool. Sometimes we do say that, actually, but this is not, we say, bancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo. Because we see the all-glorious, all-powerful, all-beautiful mercy of Krishna coming through the devotees. Therefore we see Krishna in the devotees. And therefore we respect, we honor, we glorify and we worship the Vaishnavas because we see Krishna in them. Because Krishna is manifesting himself through them. But for ourselves, we're not supposed to say this prayer to ourselves. When you stand in the mirror in the morning, you do not... After you put on your tilak, Vanshakalpa Kuribhyas Cha. Not like this. We should recognize that whatever good we do is Krishna working through us. Therefore, we should give the credit to Krishna, not to ourselves. This is the nature of a Vaishnava. And for such a devotee like Maharaj Yudhisthira, who is the embodiment of all wonderful qualities, but who really considered himself a fool due to that positive consciousness of true humility, Krishna became obliged to fulfill his order, or let us say his desire. Yudhisthira Maharaj, although Krishna, he's very busy in Dwarka. Krishna says in Gita, if I fail to work, then everyone will follow my path and the whole world will be destroyed. So, in Dwarka, Krishna was taking care of 16,108 households. Some of our grihasthas, they have one wife, maybe one, two, three children. And they're so busy, take so much time. Can you imagine if you had 16,108 wives, and each one of them had 10 children, and each one of them had 10 grandchildren? That's how Krishna was living. He was a busy man. But, and plus, he was Dwarkadish, he was in charge of the whole Dwarka city, which had billions and billions of people in the population. Every day he would go to the Sudharma assembly house and he would perform his work. It is explained, actually, that he would come out of each of his palaces. That means there would be 16,108 Krishnas coming out of different palaces, saying goodbye to his wives, his queens, saying, smelling the heads of his children and giving them encouragement, showing love to everyone. And then all 16,108 started going to the Sudama assembly house, which was actually presented by Indra. But somehow or other, they all, by the time that all 16,108 came to the assembly house, they all merged into one form. And Krishna would preside over all of the affairs of Dwarka. And after his day's work, he would leave the assembly house, he would start walking, and then he would start expanding himself into all the forms to go into all the palaces, and individually, in the most unique and wonderful way, meet with all of his precious queens, who were all expansions of the goddess of fortune. So Krishna was very busy. And the residents of Dwarka, for them, a moment without Krishna seemed like years and years and years. They were so attached to Krishna and only Krishna. He was their life, their soul, their everything. So Yudhisthira Maharaj is humbly requesting Krishna to stay during the rainy season. We can understand that this most probably means the Chaturmasya. He's asking Krishna to remain with them for 4 months and not go to Dwarka. He's requesting. And because of the love and the devotion of Kunti, Arjuna, Yudhisthira, because of their humility and their great desire to remember Krishna constantly and do whatever Krishna wanted, exclusively depending on him and him alone, Krishna agreed. And he remains in Indraprastha for 4 full months simply to give pleasure to his devotees. Requested by the king to stay with them, the Almighty Lord remained happily in Indraprastha during the months of the rainy season, giving joy to the eyes of the city's residents. Maharaj Yudhisthira was so selfless. He was not asking Krishna to stay in Indraprastha only for his own spiritual welfare, but because he was the leader of all the citizens, he understood that his supreme obligation to all the citizens was to give all of them the opportunity to surrender to Krishna and to receive Krishna's precious mercy. Yudhisthira was like a father, it is explained, to all of his praja, to all the citizens of his kingdom. And we see here that his greatest desire was that every one of the citizens could experience the bliss and the love of Krishna's association and Krishna's mercy. This should be the prominent desire of every father, every mother. The supreme bliss and the supreme fortune of having Krishna's mercy and Krishna's love, that is what I really want for them. Guru na sasyat, swajani na sasyat. And the spiritual master, this is also his prayer. When the spiritual master comes before the deity with all of the disciples, the spiritual master is simply so happy, so pleased, Sri Viga Hara Dana Nityananda, to see all of the devotees so wonderfully dancing and chanting and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's simply praying to Krishna, please accept them as your own. They are yours. Please protect them. Please give them your love. Please let them never leave for even a moment your beautiful and merciful lotus feet. Is there any questions?
You're explaining how we should not try to compare ourselves with others. But is it not a good thing to try to see the good qualities and pray to Krishna that by the mercy of Guru we can imbibe some of the good qualities?
Yes, but that is not exactly comparing yourself. We shouldn't compare ourselves in a competitive way. We should always see the good qualities in Vaishnavas, and we should always look for the insignificance in ourselves. Amanina manadena kirataniya sadhar. We should always offer all respect to others and expect none in return. We should never be competitive in the sense that for the pleasure of Krishna, sometimes there may be some competition just to encourage one another to do more and more and more service for Guru and Krishna. That is healthy. But it's a fine line. Because when the false ego enters into that competition, it becomes a battle of egos rather than a mutual process of encouraging one another to do more service. We have to be very careful about such transcendental competition, that we keep it transcendental. So yes, we should see good qualities in every Vaishnava. We should see no faults, unless it's for the purpose of preaching and protecting others, or helping that devotee. Should never be done with envy or negativity. But when we see what they're doing, we glorify it because we understand that how wonderful they're acting as instruments for Krishna. Krishna is doing it through them. My Guru Maharaj, who's representing the mercy of Krishna, is doing it through him. Therefore, we should worship the Vaishnava like we worship Krishna, because we see Krishna's mercy manifesting through him in such a wonderful way. And yes, we want to follow in his footsteps. When you follow in somebody's footsteps, That means you're always giving him an honor above your own, and you never want that honor for yourself. Trying to do what another person does could mean that you want to be better than him or equal to him. But when you're following in a person's footsteps, that means you're accepting he's always in a superior position. So let me be inspired by what he's doing, and let me imbibe those qualities myself. So we don't want to compete with anyone. We want to follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajans, Mahajano Yena Katasa Panta, and those who are nicely representing them. We want to follow in their footsteps, be inspired by their qualities, adore their qualities, and try to imbibe the principles of how they are teaching us by example. This is how we should see all good Vaishnavas. And if you look carefully, you will find that in every devotee there are some wonderful qualities that could improve your own devotional service. Devotees always seem Vaishnavas in this way. Prabhupada said, the honeybee could be in a terrible heap of garbage. But if there's one flower, he'll disregard the whole garbage all around, acres and acres, hectares of land, of stool and urine and everything else, rubbish. He'll just ignore it. He won't even look at it. He'll just go right to that flower and drink the honey. Devotees should be like that honeybee in regard to other Vaishnavas. But the fly may be in a beautiful, beautiful garden of fragrant roses. And if there's one piece of stool, he'll completely disregard all the roses and he will drink the juices of that stool. So we want to become like bees for Krishna, always looking for the nectar of devotion in others. Thank you very much. Hari Om.